Second Chronicles chapter 24. Second Chronicles chapter 24. Now, if you have read some of the Chronicles, I'm not going to tell you that all of it is something that you should read late at night. How many of you ever read some parts of the Bible and when it says that this person begot that person, begot who, and he got this person, and that person begot that person, and after a while you're like, you know, you're really not, you ever get to the point where you have to read a paragraph like three or four times before you actually get it? Well, it's, you know, sometimes there are some parts of the Bible that you know, we may not see as being exciting as, say, the story of Samson or the story of, you know, Daniel in the lion's den or something like that. But it's all written for a reason. It's all written so we can learn. The Old Testament is written as an example to us. And like I've told you before, we read the New Testament, it tells us how we ought to live, but then we see in the Old Testament the results of people living that way and the results of people not living that way. And so it's all there for a reason. It's all there to teach us something. And so I want to encourage you, when you get to those parts of the Bible, like in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, and parts of Second Chronicles where it seems that it's not as exciting as some other parts of the Bible, keep on reading. Because I guarantee you this, the Lord will give you something out of it. He'll give you something out of it. Now in Second Chronicles chapter 24, we read of a boy king. And it says in Second Chronicles chapter 24 verse 1, it says, Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned for 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Zibiah of Beersheba. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Now drop down to verse 22. Thus Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but slew his son. And when he died, he said, The Lord look upon it and require it. And it came to pass at the end of the year that the host of Syria came up against him, and they came to Judah and Jerusalem and destroyed the princes of the people from among the people and sent all the spoil of them unto the king of Damascus. For the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men. Now, I'm just going to tell you that when the Bible, everything that the Bible says, every single word, every single jot and tittle is written for a reason. And sometimes when you're reading the Bible, the Lord will give a little bit of extra information there. And when he does, you need to stop for a second and say, now, why would he say that? Notice here it says that the Syrians came in and they destroyed Judah. And it says they came with a small company of men to do it. And you know, men think that they're great today. Leaders of countries today think that they're great because they're surrounded with power and armies and great weapons. But you know, if God is not on your side, it only takes just a small company of men to beat them, if God's not on your side. Now, again, look at verse 24, and it says, For the armies of the Syrians came with a small company of men, and the Lord delivered a very great host in their hand, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers, so they executed judgment against Joash. Now, isn't that something? Well, right there in verse 1 and 2, we read about how great Joash was. But it says here that God they executed judgment against Joash. And when they were departed from him, for they left him in great diseases, his own servants conspired against him for the blood of the sons of Jehoiada the priest and slew him on his bed, and he died. And they buried him in the city of David, but they buried him not in the sepulchres of the kings. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again this morning, Lord, for your word. Lord, I pray that as we read and study and the word is preached this morning, Lord, that you'll open our ears, Lord. Help us to understand the warning that you give us in this story. Lord, as Christians, all of us are susceptible, Lord, to messing up and getting away from you, Lord. And Lord, when we look at this story of this boy king, Joash, Lord, and look how he started and look how he finished and look at the things that happened in his life, Lord, help us to be warned as Christians that the same thing could happen to us. Lord, help us to always be aware, Lord, that the devil is as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. And Lord, help us to always be diligent and always be spiritually aware, Lord, that there are just things in life that can trip us up. And if we're not careful, Lord, we'll end up far away from you. Lord, I pray you'll bless the message this morning, Lord. If there is somebody here that's not saved this morning, Lord, I pray that they will call upon you for salvation this morning, Lord, and believe that you died for their sins on the cross of Calvary, Lord, that you were buried and you rose again the third day. And Lord, help them to put their trust in that and you to get them to heaven. Now, Lord, I pray you'll be with us during the sermon this morning, Lord. Keep us from anything that would disturb us this morning, Lord. Keep us focused on the Word of God and help us to learn. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in these two passages, we see the miraculous story of this boy, King Joash. And I say that it's a miraculous story because in 2 Chronicles chapter 22, just a couple of chapters before that, we read about a wicked woman ruler by the name of Athaliah. And Athaliah had killed all those who might have had right to rule on the throne there in Judah. But what this wicked ruler did what she did not know was that there was this boy king that was there who was the son of the last king, Ahaziah. In other words, basically what she did is when Ahaziah died, she went and took power. But she didn't realize that there was a son there from the last king, which means that he had right to the throne. Now, she had killed everybody else that had right to the throne, but there was still this one boy that she didn't know about or she wasn't aware of, and of course, this boy's name was Joash. And so he had been hidden from her so that she couldn't kill him, and this little boy, he had right to the throne. But when you read back in the 23rd chapter of 2 Chronicles, you'll read that there was a high priest by the name of Jehoiada, who found out about this little boy, Joash, and knew that God intended for the seed of David to stay on that throne. How many of you understand that all the way through, God had it so the seed of David would stay on the throne of Jerusalem? And by the way, when Christ comes back to rule and reign this earth, he is of the seed of David. Okay? You say, well, how do you do that? Through the line of Mary. You can read about that over there in the book of Luke, or Matthew. And so this priest Jehoiada, understood that this boy had right to the throne, and he knew that God intended for the seed of David to stay on the throne and not this wicked woman, Athaliah. And so Jehoiada and the priest anointed this little boy as king without Athaliah knowing about it. And the Bible says that there was great praise and there was shouting and all this going on once this boy was anointed king. So much so that this wicked Athaliah, she heard all this shouting going on, and she ran to see what all the hubbub was about because she didn't know what was going on. And then all of a sudden when she arrived in the throne room, what did she see but a little boy sitting there, 7 years old, with a crown upon his head who had been anointed king. Don't you know that just shocked her? I mean, here she was. She thought she was ruling the roost, and turned out she wasn't ruling the roost. And so what she do? She starts screaming out, treason, treason. And it's at that point that the high priest Jehoiada commanded the Levites to take that woman, Athaliah, take her outside the temple and kill her. And that's exactly what they did. And then we're told in our opening passage here that this Joash, this boy king, began to reign when he was 7 years old. And he reigned for 40 years in Jerusalem. Now, if you look at the times that the kings reigned, both in the southern tribes and in the northern tribes, you'll see that 40 years is a pretty good reign. That's a pretty long time. A lot of kings didn't reign that long. But he was sitting there, and he had reigned for 40 years in Jerusalem, and it was an absolute miracle of God that this little boy Joash was ever sitting on the throne there in Judah. Now, you say, well, what's the miracle? Well, you know, the Lord wanted that young man on the throne. And so when you start reading through these chapters and you see how it all came about, you see God's hand in it all the way. God guided it that way. Now, you would think that the story that begins this, like this one begins, I mean, here you are, you have this boy king, he's anointed, and the wicked king is put off aside and killed, and the right one is placed on the throne. Boy, you'd say, boy, what a great start. I mean, after all, what a wonderful story. Well, you know, I wish that it had ended as good as it started. Because, I mean, the whole story of this thing, I mean, the miracle of a little boy being on the throne, and we're like, man, great, the right person got on the throne. I wish that it could have ended right there. I wish that it had stayed good all the way through. But the last passage we read speaks about this same Joash who was judged by God and was killed by his own servants. And as great as a king that he was at the beginning, in the end, he wasn't even buried with the other kings. He died in shame. For the most of the rule of Joash served God faithfully. He loved God. He was obedient to God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 24, look if you would at verse 4. It says, "And it came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of God." Remember, before Joash come in there, he had this wicked Athaliah. She had messed things up. She had thrown off some of the parts of the temple, and she had destroyed parts of it. But when this boy king came in there, the first thing he said was, "Hey, let's put together the house of God. Let's put it back together. Let's make this something presentable for the Lord." Verse 5, "And he gathered together the priests and the Levites and said to them, 'Go out unto the cities of Judah and gather all Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year. And see that ye hasten the matter, howbeit the Levites hasten it not.' And the king called for Jehoiada the priest and said unto him, 'Why hast thou not required the Levites to bring in and out of Judah and out of Jerusalem the collection according to the commandment of Moses, the servant of the Lord, and of the congregation of Israel for the tabernacle of witness? For the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, had broken up the house of God. And also all the dedicated things of the house of the Lord that they bestow upon Balaam." In other words, they took the things that were meant for God and offered those things to a false god. "And at the king's commandment, they made a chest and set it without the gate of the house of the Lord. And they made a proclamation through Judah and Jerusalem to bring in to the Lord the collection that Moses, the servant of God, laid upon Israel in the wilderness. And all the princes and all the people rejoiced and brought in and cast into the chest until they had made an end." And so Joash realized here that the honor of God demanded that the temple be put back together and it be made in such a way that it glorified God. Joash was a great man of God, and he was a great worker in the house of God. And he wanted to leave the house of God in a better position, in a better way than it was when he first came there. He wanted to repair it. Now, again, I wish the story had ended right there. I mean, he was serving in the house of God, and he was, you know, he was fixing things up in the house of God, and he was doing the work, but it didn't end there. In fact, his reign didn't end very well at all. Something happened in the life of Joash that made his life end in disaster. How could a person with such a great start, how could he have such a great start and then have it end so bad? How could a person like Joash trust in the Lord and be such a wonderful leader for so long and then all of a sudden change like that to where he has a horrible end to his life? What in the world happened to him? Well, I want to show you three things this morning that happened in succession that changed Joash forever. It changed his way of thinking. And it made Joash's life, which was so miraculous and good at the beginning, end in such tragedy. And folks, I'm just going to tell you, when we're looking at these things that happened to Joash, I want you to be warned that the same thing could happen to you as Christians. In fact, I'm just going to go out on a limb and tell you right now that just about everybody in this room knows somebody today that these things have happened to, and their life is in, we know people whose life has ended up in tragedy and disaster because they got away from the Lord the same way Joash did. And so when we read each one of these things that happened in Joash's life that led to his ultimate destruction, that led to him no longer having the blessings of God, but instead of getting judgment from God, I want you to be warned when we look at each one of these things because they could happen to you. The first thing that happened to Joash that could happen to any Christian in this room is this. Joash's desire to please God changed. Joash's desire to please God changed. Listen, when we just read that passage, the first thing he did, one of the first things he did when he was a boy king was this. He said, let's fix up the temple. Let's get this temple looking good for the Lord. I mean, after all, this is the Lord's temple here. We need to make sure we please the Lord with our lives. But then his desire to please God changed. Look, if you would, at verse 11. It says, now it came to pass that at what time the chest was brought under the king's office by the hand of the Levites, and when they saw that there was much money, the king's scribe and the high priest's officer came and emptied the chest and took it and carried it to his place. Again, thus they did day by day and gathered money in abundance. And the king and Jehoiada gave it such as did the work of the service of the house of the Lord and hired masons and carpenters to repair the house and also such as wrought iron and brass to mend the house of God, the house of the Lord. So the workmen wrought, and the work was perfected by them, and they set the house of God in its state and strengthened it. And so things were really going good for him here. He was getting the temple repaired. The house of God was getting strengthened. God was blessing Judah along the way. And you say, well, why was God blessing him so much? Well, look at verse 14. And they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually all the days of Jehoiada. So God's blessing them because they're seeking to bless God. God's blessing them because they're serving the Lord. Okay? And so this priest, he knew what the Bible said about how God wanted to be worshipped. This Jehoiada the priest, he knew how God wanted to be worshipped. And he made sure that the sacrifices were made to God the way that the Bible says that they were to sacrifice unto the Lord. Because they knew, the priest knew that if he has served God the way God wants to be served, if he worshiped God the way God wants to be worshiped, then God will bless that. How many of you understand that there are people today that claim to be worshiping God when they're not worshiping God according to what that Bible says? Listen, God will not bless that. But God will always bless if you bless him the way he wants to be blessed. Why? Because it's about what God wants, not about what we want. You see, a lot of people today, they want to worship God on their terms. I want to worship God the way I like to worship God. Listen, that's not the way your attitude is to be. You are to worship God the way he wants to be worshiped. And that Bible says that he that worships God, worship him in spirit and in truth. Now that's God, that's the way God wants it. You know, when I was, when my oldest son, when he was young, he had this habit. And his habit was, when I'd tell him to do something that I needed done, he'd say, okay, I'll do that. And then while I was gone, he would go and do something totally different that he wanted to do. And then when I got home, I'd say, did you do this? Oh, no. Well, why didn't you do that? Well, I did this over here instead. Boy, didn't I do a good job? And I'd say, yeah, but I told you to do this. And he goes, well, I thought you'd be happy that I did this. I can't believe it. I never will forget it. One time I told him to pick weeds out of the garden. His most hated job in the whole world. Well, when I come back, the weeds weren't picked out of the garden. But that back porch was the cleanest thing I ever saw. And I said, well, did you pick the weeds out of the garden? No, Dad, I was cleaning the back porch. I said, yes, but I really need the weeds picked out of the garden because if we don't pick the weeds out of the garden, pretty soon it's going to be a jungle. And he goes, well, I thought that you'd appreciate the fact that I cleaned the back porch. He tried to lay it on me. I tell you, these kids, I tell you what, they got to go out, they understand some things. But you know, a lot of times we do that with God, too. God says, I want to be worshipped this way, and we say, well, yeah, I understand why you want to be worshipped this way, but I've got my own way of worshiping the Lord. Listen, the Lord's not interested in your way of worshiping him. He's interested in me worship the way he wants to be worshipped. And so this priest here, this Jehoiada the priest, understood that God wanted to be worshipped a certain way, and he knew that if they worshiped God God's way, that God would be pleased, and Joash knew that as well. That's why he allowed the priest to continually make sacrifices. But then the old priest Jehoiada died. He died. And that changed everything. Now we're going to read here in a few minutes that once that old priest died, Joash and Judah did not continue to offer sacrifices to God the way they once did. And it seemed that the desire to please the Lord had completely left Joash. Before earlier in Joash's life, Joash lived to please the Lord. Joash hired men to repair the temple. He wanted everything to be just right for God. But then something changed in Joash. It's like, you know, sometimes that happens to believers. You know, they get to the point where something happens in their life and they go from desiring to please God to all of a sudden they don't care about pleasing God anymore, because usually something bad happened in their life and something devastating happens in their life, and the next thing you know, they start to blame God for what happened. And they say to themselves, Lord, I tried to please you. I tried to do what you wanted me to do, Lord. But look what you did to me. And every time I've seen someone start off that way and start to get away from the Lord or fall into sin, I have noticed that once a person starts to get away from the Lord, their desire to please the Lord starts to diminish. It starts to diminish. Let me ask you this. Do you have the same desire to please the Lord that you once did? I mean, do you think about the things that you could do for the Lord every day? You know, I'm just going to tell you, the normal Christian way of thinking is this. What can the Lord do for me? How do I know that? Because of some of the prayers that I hear myself praying. Lord, do this for me. Lord, do this for me. Lord, could you do this? Lord, could you do that? Lord, could you do this? Lord, take care of this. Lord, do this. Do this. You know what I'm thinking? What can the Lord do for me? You know, when it comes to church, you know what a lot of people think about church? What does that church have to offer me and my family? I'm just going to tell you point blank, that's not a scriptural way of thinking. You know what a scriptural way of thinking is? It's what can I do for the Lord? And what can I do for the Lord in this church that the Lord has called me to serve? Whatever church that may be. If it's this one, or wherever. What can I do for the Lord, and how can I serve the Lord? Not what can the church do for me, not what can God do for me, but what can I do for the Lord? That's the way we're supposed to be thinking, but sometimes our thinking gets messed up. Why? Because we have this thing, all of us have this thing called self-righteousness. We think that it's all about us sometimes. And listen, I'm as guilty as anybody else. We all have those times when we do that. But the question is what do you have the same desire that you had to serve the Lord that you once did? Or has that desire started to diminish, and has it started to become about more about you than serving the Lord? The first step that led to the demise of Joash, that began so, his kingdom started so great, but it made it end so horrible, was that his desire to please the Lord changed. And then that led to the next step. The next step that resulted in Joash's tragic downfall. And that is this. His desire to serve the Lord changed. You see, before, the first step was that his desire to please the Lord changed, and now his desire to serve the Lord changed. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. We need to be aware of this, because it could come down to us going through the same thing. You start to get away from the Lord just a little bit, and you'll notice that your desire to please the Lord will start to change, and then the very next thing you'll see is your desire to serve the Lord will start to become less and less and less. Look, if you would, at verse 17. It says, "Now after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them, and they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers." Now think about the change here. I mean, when he was a boy king, he was put on the throne, and his thought was this: I want to please the Lord. I want to fix up the temple. I want to serve the Lord. I want to do things for the Lord. I want to get the blessings of the Lord. Offer them sacrifices, Jehoiada. Get those sacrifices going, because I want to please the Lord. But then he starts to get away from the Lord, and he doesn't care so much about pleasing the Lord anymore. And then what's the next step he does? He leaves the house of God that he was so wanting to fix up before. He left the very house of God that he wanted the sacrifices in. He left the very house of God that he cared so much about. He left the service of God that he had once done. And in his mind, he said, basically said, I don't need to come to the house of the Lord anymore. It's not important to me to come here and serve the Lord anymore. Just think about all the things that happened to Joash, all because at one point he made a turn and decided to leave the house of God. It all led to him leaving and stop serving God. You know, when it comes to our Christian life, once we start down the wrong road, it seems that we continue to take wrong turns after that. And that's exactly what Joash did. First, his desire to please the Lord became a little bit less, and that led him leaving the house of the Lord. And you know, many Christians go down the same path. They start off, you know, they start off strong. Things are going good in their lives, are serving the Lord, they're serving the Lord well, the church that they're in is getting strengthened, and then for some reason their desire to serve the Lord becomes a little bit less, and because they're no longer wanting to please the Lord, that leads to them no longer serving the Lord as they once did, and they start skipping church a little bit, and then they start skipping church a little bit more, and a little bit more, and because the things that they did in church, they didn't do for the glory of the Lord. Listen, there are a lot of people today that served in the church. They were faithful in church. They did things in the church. They served the Lord, but they did it for the wrong reason. They did it for the glory of man, not for the glory of God. There are a lot of people today that they did this in the church, and they did that in the church, and then all of a sudden they stopped doing it, and they said, well, I don't have any part of that anymore. Why? They never were doing it for the Lord. I'm just going to tell you right now, everything that you do, when you come to this church, if you pray, you pray for the God, for the Lord's sake, not for mine. When you sing, sing out. Why? Because you're not singing to me and you're not singing to everybody else. You're singing to God. Everything you do in this church, it should be for the Lord. And I'll tell you this, the more you do for the Lord, the harder it is for you to quit doing that. But if you start doing it for other people, oh boy, if you start doing it for me, like I told you before, I guarantee you, I'm going to make you mad. I am going to disappoint you at times. Why? Because I'm just as human as you are. Just as human as you are. I'm going to make mistakes. You're going to be disappointed in me. You're going to get mad at me. And you know what? You're probably going to get mad at other people in this church. Why? Because we're all human. How many of you understand when you get family together, it's not always just a great big bowl of ice cream? Amen? Amen. You know, you get family together and there's going to be a little bit of you know. And you know the people that automatically in a family don't get along. You know, your cousin Maybell and Uncle George. You know, sometimes they just go out of each other's throats every now and then. That's called family. And you know what? A Christian family is the same way. There are going to be times and we're going to rub each other the wrong way. And what happens is when people come to church and they're serving the Lord and they're not doing it for God and they're doing it for the other people in that church, when those people make them mad, you know what they do? Throw the coop. That's it. They made me mad long enough. I'm going to go over here and I'm going to give these people over here and I'm going to fellowship with them people. And when they go over there, what happens? Family gets together, same squabbles. Do you realize in every church, it's really the same people, just different faces? Amen. Why? We're all sinners. We're all sinners. We're all going to mess up. We're all going to get up on the wrong side of the bed. We're all going to be in a bad mood when somebody says, hey, how you doing? And then you let them have it. Amen. That happens. But the problem is there are people, Christians today, that when that happens, because they're not doing what they do to glorify God, and it's not about God, it's about everybody else. It's about, well, I've always went there, or it's about, well, I sing because I want George over here to understand that I sing better than him, so I got to sing really loud. By the way, that does happen. I have been in churches where the one guy could sing so bad that I felt my obligation to sing as loud as I possibly could. Now, I can't hold a tune, but I was sure better than he was. And I'd sing just as loud as I could so everybody else wouldn't get off key. I don't even know why I tell you that. But the truth of the matter is this. Sometimes we do things for the sake of other people, and we do things for the sake of ourselves and for the sake of vainglory when we should be doing what we do for the Lord. Everything you do, you should do because, Lord, I'm going to sing as loud as I can this morning, Lord, because I love you. Lord, I'm going to sing like Brother Brett when he was leading the singing. He was talking about the blood of Jesus. I love singing about the blood of Jesus. You know why? Because it's the blood of Jesus that washed away my sins. Amen. And so when I start singing, when it says there's power in the blood, power in the blood, oh, amen to that. And I'm going to sing that to the Lord. Why? Because it's about Him. There are Christians going, power in the blood, power in the blood. Listen, where would you be without the blood of Jesus Christ this morning? Where would you be without the cross of Calvary this morning? Don't you understand what you have as Christians because Jesus Christ died on the cross for you? When we sing, we should be singing to the Lord. When we're praying, we should be praying to the Lord. That's the reason whenever I call on people to pray, you know, listen, there have been some people when I call them to pray, they feel like, I don't know anybody's heart, but there are some people that just, you know, it just seems like they're not praying to God. Now, this is a tough thing, but I say, you know, in fact, I remember one time I was at a church camp, and I called on somebody to pray, and man stands up and goes, let us bow our heads, now God, and he starts praying. Okay, that's fine, but I also call on people to pray. You know what they did? They said, now, Lord, I'm just a sinner, and Lord, just thank you for everything you've done for me, Lord, and it's like he was talking to God himself, and he was. When you pray for the sake of God. You talk to Him. Don't do it for anybody else in this church. When you sing, you do it to the Lord, not for anybody else in this church. When you serve in this church and you do things in this church, don't do it for me, don't do it for everybody else. You do it for the Lord. If you don't, you know what will happen? The devil will get in. The devil will get in your heart. And the next thing you know, you really were interested in pleasing the Lord before, but not so much now. You were really interested in serving the Lord at one time, but not so much now. And everybody in this room knows somebody right now who at one time was an absolute spiritual giant who served the Lord. I mean, served the Lord every moment of his life. And then something happened in his life. Something happened. And all of a sudden, his desire to please the Lord started to go down. And after that happened, the desire to serve the Lord immediately went down as well. You know where those people are today? They did the same thing that Joash did. They left church. I know people in this town right now that used to serve the Lord faithfully. People that when I looked at them, I thought, wow, I want to be like that person. I want to serve the Lord like that person. Boy, the Lord's really using that person. I want to be like that person. And that person, those people today aren't even in church. And if you talk to them, they don't want to have anything to do with church. You know people like that the same as I do. You know what happened? The same thing happened to Joash, happened to them. Their desire to please the Lord went down. And then from that point on, their desire to serve the Lord was the next thing to happen. It went down. You know, people that once were serving the Lord faithfully, now they're no longer serving faithful in church, in any church. But then came the third and final step in the downfall of Joash, and that is the step of where his desire to worship God totally went away. Look at what happened right after Joash and the princes of Judah left the house of the Lord. Now notice this. The progression is their desire to please God went down. It became less. And then their desire to serve God became less. Then they leave the church. Look at verse 18. And they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols. What a turnaround. You're talking about a young boy who first got in the king, he sat on the throne, and he wanted to serve the Lord. He wanted to fix up the temple, and he wanted sacrifices to be the way they used to, and fix up everything the way God wanted to be done. But now, Joash went from being a man who had so much zeal to serve the Lord, he spent so much time and money to fix up God's house, he went from having a burning desire to please God, to now having no desire to worship God at all, but to worship idols instead. You know, it never fails. When people get out of church, they stop coming to church, it isn't long before they stop serving God altogether. And what they'll do is, rather than serving the Lord, they'll start to put other things ahead of God. In other words, at one time, God was a priority, same as it was with Joash. At one time, God was the priority. He was the number one priority in their lives, just like Joash. But then their love for the Lord started getting less, and then they quit serving the Lord a little bit less. They left church, and you know what the next thing happened to them? Is they started putting things ahead of God. In other words, God was no longer the priority. This was a priority, or that was a priority, or toys. You know, water skis, snow skis, four-wheelers, snowmobiles, football. Ooh, ooh, ooh. All those things become the priority over the Lord. You go talk to those people and say, hey, I haven't seen you in church in a long time. Is everything okay? And they say, yeah, you know, boy, with work going on and everything, we just don't have time. You know what that person's done? Now, listen, I understand the economy we have. It's important to have a job and important work. I understand that. But nothing can come ahead of the Lord. Nothing can come ahead of the Lord. Why? You wouldn't have your job if it wasn't for the Lord. May I tell you that anything that you put ahead of the Lord has become your what? Idol. Your idol. Anything that you make a priority ahead of God has become your idol. And I've noticed this, that when people quit coming to church, and I go to tell them, hey, listen, we missed you, you need to come to church. Whenever people quit coming to church, I start to notice immediately that God is no longer the priority in their lives. Something has changed. And you know what? When you see what happened to Joash right here, it's a pattern that we have seen for the last 6,000 years. People's love start to get a little bit less for the Lord. Oh, they were serving the Lord faithfully, but their love became a little bit less. And then their need to serve them became a little bit less. And then all of a sudden it's okay, we don't come to church today. I mean, well, next week. And the next week comes, and then, well, okay, let's sleep in. Okay, well, maybe next week. And next week comes, and well, you know, we got this plan. And then pretty soon, their whole priorities just change totally to where God is really third or fourth down the list. I'll try to make it to church this Sunday. We'll see how it goes. Got this going on, got that going on. Maybe I've got time for God somewheres in the mix. But boy, that sure wasn't the way you started off now, was it? You see that progression that goes? Same thing happened to Joash. Same exact thing. His desire to worship God went away, and the next thing you know, he's serving idols. And now I tell you that every case I've seen where that has happened in Christian life, their lives went from getting blessings from the Lord to not getting those blessings anymore. But now I want you to see something that's probably the most important thing. Now, when you look at the things that happened to Joash, boy, they were bad. And the things he did was bad. He shouldn't have let his love go down for the Lord. He should have kept on serving the Lord, and certainly he should not have quit church. And certainly he should not have worshipped idols. But I want you to notice the worst thing that he did. And this, folks, you need to pay attention to. Look at verse 19. It says, "Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord. And they testified against them." What that saying is this. Joash and those princes got away from the Lord. Their love for the Lord went down. Their desire to serve the Lord went down. They quit church. They started worshiping idols. And the Lord saw all this. But we serve a God of grace, don't we? You know what God in all this grace did to Joash? He says, "I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to send my prophets over to Joash and those princes, and I'm going to get those prophets to try to talk some sense into those people. To get right, get back in church and put away those idols and get back in church and start serving me the way you used to serve me." And he sends these prophets to Joash. God did not have to do that, amen? He didn't have to do that, but he did. And so he sends these prophets to talk to him. And it says he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord. And they testified against them. And basically, God was saying, "Joash, you're messing up here. Come back to God's house and again start serving him like you once did. Come back and receive the blessings of God." And he sends these prophets. But the worst thing that Joash did is seen in verse 19. How did he respond to these prophets? Look at it again. He says, "Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again to the Lord, and he testified against them, but they would not give ear." The Lord said, "Joash, you've messed up here. You've got away from me. Your love for me went down. You quit serving me. You got out of church. You started worshiping idols. Joash, you're a sinner. I understand you're a sinner, but in my grace, I'm giving you a chance to make things right. Just get right. Start loving me again. Start serving me again. Put away those idols. Come back to church. Start living right." And it says that when those prophets told him that, he wouldn't give ear to them. In other words, he was saying, "Well, maybe I'll come. Well, I know I ought to be there. I know I should serve the Lord more." But he never did. He never did. And then look what happened. Verse 23. "And it came to pass at the end of the year that the host of Syria came up against him, and they came to Judah and Jerusalem and destroyed all the princes of the people from among the people and sent all the spoil of them unto the king of Damascus." Verse 24. "For the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men, and the Lord delivered a very great host in their hand because they had forsaken the Lord God their fathers. So they executed judgment against Joash. And when they were departed from him, for they left him in his great diseases, his own servants conspired against him for the blood of the sons of Jehoiada the priest, and slew him on his bed, and he died, and they buried him in the city of David, but they buried him not in the sepulchres of the kings." If only they had taken God up on his offer. If only they had listened to the prophets that God sent them. You know, if you read the story here, Joash did a lot of things. Things that he should not have done. He should have not left, you know, when he felt his love for the Lord start to diminish, he should have drawn closer to the Lord, but he didn't do that. He should have kept on serving the Lord, but he didn't do that. He certainly should have never left the temple, but, you know, he shouldn't have done that, but he did. And certainly he should not have started worshiping false idols. But do you notice the one thing that he did that brought the judgment of God upon him? It was not for his love going down for the Lord. It wasn't for him to stop serving the Lord. It wasn't for him to quit church. That didn't bring judgment from God. It wasn't even him worshiping those idols that brought judgment from God. Do you know what it was? When God said, you need to repent. You need to change your mind. You need to get back with me. What brought judgment was when Joash said, no, I'm not going to go back and serve you like I used to. And God says, contend with him. Prophets, talk to him now. Tell him he needs to get back with me. And he goes, no, I'm not going to do that. Now that brought judgment from God. May I tell you something, folks, that many preachers won't tell you. Many preachers in this world will not tell you this. It's not your sins that's going to bring judgment from God. Do you know why that is? Because God already understands you are a sinner. God understands you're going to mess up day to day. Hey, I messed up this morning. There were things I should have done this morning when I first got up. I didn't do it because I was just, well, I was just too cotton picking lazy. We all mess up from time to time. God knows we're going to mess up. But that Bible says for fellowship's sake, we are to confess our sins before the Lord. That Bible says that if we were to judge ourselves, we would not be judged. That's what it says on 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You know what that means? That means we are to look at the things we did. We are to take ownership of those things we did and say, Lord, I have sinned before you. Lord, I'm sorry. In other words, repent. We know when we sin, we've gotten away from the Lord, and the Lord knows that that's going to happen, but it's when somebody tells you, or the Bible tells you, or God, that still small voice on the inside that says, hey, you're not exactly in love with me the way you used to be. You're not serving me the way you used to be. You need to get back on track. You need to repent. You need to get right with me. You need to get right. You know what the Bible's called? The Bible's called in many places the law and the prophets. That's what it's called. The Bible says the prophets were sent to Joash to try to get him to get back the way he used to be. The prophets were sent. You know, when a preacher gets up here and he starts preaching the Word of God, and all of a sudden, it's like somebody's, the Holy Spirit's got his finger right in your chest saying, thou art the man. You know this is you. You know what that is? That's the prophets. The law and the prophets talking to you. It's the Holy Spirit of God talking to you and saying, you're messing up here. You're not in love with me the way you used to be. You're not serving me the way you used to be. You're putting things ahead of me in life which have become your idols. God in His grace sent the Holy Spirit of God to you to convict you of those things, to tell you that you're messing up. In His grace, He does that. You know what the worst thing you could do is? Same thing Joash did. I hear you, Lord, but I ain't going to get right. Nope, not me. I want to encourage you folks, don't wait until the judgment of God comes. That Bible says that God will chastise them that are His because we're sons of God. You know what? My children, honestly, they don't get punished just for messing up. You know what they get punished for? When I catch them and I say, Bud, I caught you. I saw you do that. And he goes, I didn't do it. Don't you lie to me. You own up to it. Nope, wasn't me. Now, he's going to get corrected when that happens. Kids mess up. God knows we mess up. It's our attitude after we mess up that God's interested in. Are you going to make it right with the Lord? Listen, maybe you're here this morning, maybe you don't love God the way you used to. Maybe you don't. Maybe you're here this morning and you know that you used to serve God more than you serve Him now. Maybe. Maybe you've started to put things ahead of God in your life. We've all been guilty of that from time to time. But the question is, what are you going to do about it now? You know who you are. God knows who you are. And He sent His Holy Spirit to God to you this morning to let you know that thou art the man. You're the one that needs to get right. So the question is this morning, are you going to get right? Are you going to say, Lord, I'm sorry for not serving you the way I used to. Lord, I'm sorry for not loving the way I should love you. Lord, help me to love you more. Lord, I'm sorry I put anything ahead of you, Lord. Now, if you do that, you know what will happen? You'll be in fellowship with the Lord, and you'll still receive the blessings of God. But if you try to put God off and you try to resist God and say, no, Lord, I'm not going to do what you tell me to do. And I understand the Holy Spirit of God is convicting me of this, Lord, but I'm just not going to do it. He says, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Now, the Lord can punish his children. And I hope this morning that you'll make the right choice. If you've got away from the Lord in any way this morning, don't do what Joash did. Don't do what Joash did. I'll tell you this. I'm one of those people, I just love the blessings of God. I do. I love to see the blessings of God on my life. I love to see the blessings of God on my family. I love to see the blessings of God. But I'll tell you this, I don't want those blessings to stop. But I do know this, that Bible shows that God never blesses those people that resist him. And when God says you need to get right, then just get right. If God says you need to start serving him more, then just start serving him more. Maybe you don't have desire to please God like you did. Maybe you don't have desire to serve him like you once did. But you have the opportunity this morning to make things right and do different than what Joash did. Will you take God up on his offer this morning? Let's stand. During the invitation this morning, if you feel like the Lord has spoken to you in any way, if you feel like the Lord is showing you that you're not, that you don't love him as much as you used to, that you don't serve him as much as you used to, or that maybe there are things in your life that you've put ahead of God, you know, the Lord is gracious. The Lord loves you. The Lord wants to see you do right. And so really, this morning, he just wants you to get right. He wants you to repent. He wants you to change the direction that you're going. But really, it's up to you. It's up to you if you'll do it. I pray that you will this morning.